have no relationships to disclose. So basically, I'm going to talk to you about the American Association of School Administrators, specifically the Children's Program and our Healthy School Environments Project, and how we use a coalition of urban and rural healthy schools or rural districts to address school health equity. I'm going to present 4 case studies, 2 of them urban and 2 of them rural, briefly. And then just basically the conclusion is that districts that serve disadvantaged populations, they use collaborations to sustain healthy indoor air quality to create a distraction-free learning environment. So AASA's Urban and Rural Healthy Schools Coalition. So we have this project, and we're really trying to target urban and rural districts because, you know, they deal with a lot of issues. Urban school districts, they might have a lot of money, but they have, you know, a lot of needs, and they're disadvantaged in that way. And rural districts, they don't have a lot of money, and sometimes they don't have access to a lot of resources. So that's the reason why we target urban and rural districts. We work closely with about 31 districts that represent over 2 million students, and we use a district-level approach. Basically, we work with the superintendents and administrators and basically promote different voluntary practices such as the EPA's indoor air quality tools for schools and provide them with various AASA resources to really form their indoor air quality program. And these districts have all been successful using our resources and EPA's resources. They all have action plans. They've won numerous awards and accolades. They attend conferences. They've been featured in various publications. So it really goes to show that when you have something that's concrete and something that's formalized, it does work with results. So some of the outcomes, basically the learning potential, a lot of the districts have noticed that student and staff performance have increased and or improved. Personal health and wellness, a lot of them relate indoor air quality back to health issues like asthma and allergies and headaches, and they notice that when they address indoor air quality, some of those issues are also addressed. And then health-related policies in terms of bus idling, a lot of them have anti-vehicle idling programs, tobacco-free schools, and green cleaning policies. So the case studies. So I'm just going to go through real briefly. Memphis City Schools is a member of our Urban Healthy Schools Coalition. They have about 100,000 students, most of them African-American and some English language learners. The reason that they started their indoor air quality program is because they unfortunately had a student-related or a health-related death from a student that was tied into indoor air quality, and it was a media frenzy, so they knew that they had to respond and reach out for help, which they did with EPA. They used a lot of EPA programs. EPA actually did sort of like an incubator session with them and helped them really form their own indoor air quality program, and then they joined our Healthy Schools Coalition, where we work with them on a regular basis. Some of their highlights for indoor air quality is that they do have, we were able to go on a site visit, and they have a massive HVAC renovation that they had to undergo because of the moisture and the mold issues in the school. And they are also an EPA Design Challenge District. From the symposium last year, the EPA Tools for Schools symposium, they were one of the districts where, you know, everyone was there to try to help them with some of the issues, bringing their program to the next level. So they have a close relationship with EPA. In terms of their superintendent leadership, because that is our focus, you know, getting the administrators involved, the superintendent is very active with IAQ. The board and the superintendent helped to adopt the IAQ plan that they have, and they also mandated walkthroughs, which is really important when you're looking in terms of preventative maintenance. You need to be able to walk through and prevent smaller issues from becoming larger, and it's good that the superintendent mandated that. And then all of their employees are trained for IAQ prevention. In terms of collaborations and resources, their maintenance staff is huge. That's who's on, you know, the front line, so to speak. And like I said, EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and then they also involve the community. Because of the media frenzy, you know, it's really good to showcase what you have done and let the community know that you are taking steps to improve your healthy, to improve your indoor air quality. In terms of IAQ and achievement, superintendents, that's what they want to know. They want to know how, one, how much is it going to cost to improve indoor air quality, and two, how is this going to relate to student achievement? And so Memphis is in the process of doing a pilot study to really get the facts and get the data on how their plans, you know, over this past year have impacted their student achievement and test scores. So Milwaukee Public Schools, they're in Wisconsin. They have a similar student body, mostly African American and Hispanic, mostly, vastly, 80% low income, and it's also located in a community where there are asthma triggers, pollution, and aging housing, which disproportionately affects their students. So the reason that they decided to have an IEQ plan is there wasn't really a big issue. They just knew that they wanted to improve their indoor air quality. And so they reached out to the EPA, and they got consultation, and they had their IEQ plan. So their highlights are that they incorporate asthma into their plan, and they have an increase in asthma-friendly schools, and then they also have an anti-vehicle idling policy. Their superintendent is also involved, very committed in terms of their IEQ management plan and their timeline. They do understand that when they're doing indoor air quality, that it's really based on the board and the board approval. So they try to make a timeline where that they address the smaller issues first, knowing that the larger issues are going to take a longer time. And they use a lot of, in terms of collaborations, an asthma grant, the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Health. Basically, there are a lot of people behind Milwaukee, and they're also addressing asthma in their IEQ plan. So in terms of IEQ and academic achievement, their goal is to basically use IEQ education to reduce those barriers to learning, so creating a distraction-free environment. So I'll go through briefly on the flip side. Plainville Public Schools is in Kansas. It's very small. It's a rural school. They have about 380 students, very minimal ethnic diversity. The reason that they started their IEQ plan is because there was a student who had a parent that was very concerned with their asthma and noticed that the asthma was getting worse. So they met with the superintendent over and over again. And then the staff had also experienced some respiratory illnesses. So the superintendent took note of it. They started making changes, one, to improve the circulation and the HVAC system. And then they started to decide that they needed a program around indoor air quality, not just a maintenance of the air conditioning system. Some of their highlights is that they have a $2.4 million energy conservation and IEQ improvement plan. Their superintendent, because it's such a small school, I work with her on a regular basis, Superintendent Beth Roos, and she is amazingly involved with every aspect of the school and of the district. She attends the EPA Tools for Schools Symposium. She's a member of the IEQ/Energy Conservation Committee. She's there on the front line, so she's very involved. There are hardly any buffers between her and what's really going on. The collaborations they use, EPA, ASA, and what really stands out is that they involve the students. The students actually collect a lot of the indoor air quality data. They did it before the conservation plan, and now they're going to follow up next year once the energy improvements have been made to see how that's had an impact on indoor air quality. In terms of academic achievement in IAQ, they don't really have that many problems with attendance except for the fifth grade. It has the lowest rate. It's still a very high rate, but in terms, relatively, it's low. And they also have the lowest test scores. So what they're going to do is basically monitor this year the academic achievement, the test scores, and also the reasons that people are being absent, and make improvements as needed. So it's important that she has that data so that we can share that with the rest of the coalitions and to other schools on really how attendance affects achievement, and attendance that's caused by, you know, asthma or any other health-related issues that relate to IEQ. It'll be really important for us when we are establishing our model. Cobb County Schools is in Tennessee. It's a small district. It has a little over 4,000 students. You know, again, not that ethnically diverse. Most of the students do qualify for free meals. The reason that they decided to start their IEQ program is there's an increase in asthmatics that are enrolling into the schools. Their pesticide usage of local farms is getting into the ventilation systems. Their program is relatively new. This year they did apply for EPA Indirect Quality Tools for Schools Great Start Award. They're getting new monitoring equipment, and they're really trying to formalize their IAQ plan. The leadership, the superintendent is heavily involved with mandating IAQ workshops and forming the IAQ team, and also improving education for the staff, the students, and parents. One of the things that stands out with Cobb County Schools is that they have an IAQ team that is represented by everyone who can possibly be impacted by indoor air quality. It includes the actual coordinator, assistant coordinator, but also the director of the schools, the supervisor of maintenance, the school health and transportation. So they include health, transportation, and administration in their IAQ team, which is really important. In terms of achievement, again, they're very new, so they don't have any hardcore evidence or data, but they do know the importance, and they do know that there is some link between indoor air quality and student achievement, but now they need the actual evidence. Okay, so with the lessons learned, basically the difference between the urban and the rural communities or school districts, you know, urban communities, they have a lot of issues. They have background asthma triggers, pollution, aging housing. The school districts also plagued with this. You know, they might have a lot of money, but they also have a lot of issues. Rural communities, they have to deal with agriculture issues. They're smaller, which means that, you know, even though the superintendent might have to wear many hats, but the superintendent can be really involved. They can also demand things like, you know, tracking attendance and indoor air quality and getting those results since it's a lot smaller and being able to draw conclusions from it. So some of the lessons learned, basically the common support, you need an IAQ plan, you need the management, you need the leadership, the superintendent must be involved. Peer support is very important. All of our districts, they meet together. They're able to dialogue together and share information with each other. You need administrative support. The common outcomes are multilateral partnerships. As you can see with some of them, you know, they include asthma, they include transportation, they include their own internal communications. So partnerships are very important to sustaining indoor air quality. Also, all of our districts are evaluating their indoor air quality in terms of achievement and health-related equity. And I think those results are going to be very important and very significant for future recommendations on specific ways to address indoor air quality. So in conclusion, school districts do use AASA resources, EPA resources, community partners, internal communications, basically all with the same goal of improving the learning environment, removing the distractions out of the environment, distractions that are related to indoor air quality specifically. And then also when you leverage the relationship between indoor air quality and academic achievements, then districts are really able to address health equity. As you know, these districts have equity issues. So in the future, the recommendations are to increase opportunities of peer-to-peer exchange. You know, these districts, they learn from each other, and I think it's just really important to create a platform for them to share their case studies. And also getting the quantitative data and quantifiable evidence. You know, it's easy to say that indoor air quality and academic achievement are related, but you need evidence and you need those hard numbers and that data. And then also the innovative communication between superintendents, the board, and IAQ management teams. That's really the key to success. All those people need to be at the table and they need to be communicating. So I'd like to thank Michelle Carreri, our project officer at the EPA, Memphis City Schools, Eric Thomas, Michael Gutierrez from Milwaukee Public Schools, Superintendent Beth Roos from Plainville Public Schools, and Paul Cogburn from Cobb County Schools for giving me this opportunity to share their case studies with you. We're not taking questions. But at the back table, there are resources that we have. I'll just briefly hold them up because I'm out of time. These give you more case studies. We feature Auburn City Schools, which is a rural district, and the Northeast Independent School District in San Antonio. This is our green edition of...
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. And
okay, they're all at the back. Thank you.
Okay, thank you again, Yasmin.